You're listening to Dauber Prospect Radio, Episode 9, recapping the World Junior Championship. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 9 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes or any one of your favorite podcatchers. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show or email us at prospectsradio@dauberprospects.com. I am joined once again by my co-host Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com, and we are talking World Juniors. The tournament has come and gone, and we're going to give you the names we think stood out for the good and the bad. Peter, did you enjoy the tournament this year?
Loved it. Saw some live games in the preliminary round, and then the round robin was meh. And then, of course, the medal round was just amazing.
Oh, they turned up the heat in the medal round. It was just fantastic hockey.
The tournament never disappoints, does it? It's just, especially Canada and the U.S., those two teams just, like they said on the TSN broadcast, they cannot play an uninteresting game.
No, like they once you get up two goals, they come back and tie back up, and then it goes up two goals or one goal, and then they come back and tie it up, but they never get out of reach, ever.
Maybe it's just because my team that I cheer for, the Leafs, hasn't really been relevant in the playoffs for most of my life, that I want to say that the World Junior Hockey Tournament it's the best hockey in the world.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's not because you're a Leafs fan. I'm a Pens fan. I've followed the Penguins for a very long time, and I've watched some really good playoff hockey. I still get excited for the World Juniors. It gets your spine all tingly. It's just unbelievable. These guys play for the heart. They don't have money on the line for it. They just play for the country. It's kind of like how the Olympics work. It's just another step of these guys playing hockey. It's incredible.
How gut-wrenching was it watching the reaction of the Canadians after they lost in the shootout?
Nicolas Waugh, just so defeating. He lost the puck, and he's going to put it all on his shoulders, and there's no way it's all on his fault. But just gut-wrenching seeing it come off his stick, and it's just like, man, poor kid. Like, these guys are 18, 19 years old doing this. It's incredible.
I know. That is unfortunately going to haunt him for his entire life. And Mr. Watt, if you're listening to our podcast, which I doubt, but if you are, don't feel bad, man. There were five shooters. That game was back and forth. I can't even begin to imagine the kind of pressure that he was under in that situation. Must score or it's over. And only the entire country is watching.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can't imagine how difficult that must have been.
Yeah, so Nikolai, it's okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to have a pretty good career in the NHL, I think. Do you think he's going to have a good NHL career, Peter?
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's a great player. He's got size to play in the NHL. He can skate very well for a player his size, and he's got skill. Just that one little play alone aside. He looked good in the tournament. I like him. Carolina's got a good one. Great value for when they picked him in the draft, by the way.
Oh, no kidding. He fell real far.
Yeah. Probably than he should have.
We have a lot to get to, Peter. We sent each other a list of guys we really wanted to talk to about, really wanted to pinpoint how their tournament went. So let's get right into it. Segment one, we're going to go through Peter's list. Segment two, we're going to go through my list. And then segment three, we're going to catch up with Scott Wheeler of Pension Plan Puppets, and he's going to talk about his live viewings in Toronto. He was there for the entire tournament. We will catch up with him in segment three, so stay tuned. All right, Peter, let's go by country. The United States, Tyler Parsons. What'd you think of his tournament?
Yeah, okay, so I saw the States play twice, and I don't think Tyler Parsons was the goalie in either of the games that I watched in the preliminary round, but it's hard to miss him in the medal rounds, as he looked just amazing. He's won 16, I think it was, straight games in the playoffs last year with London, winning the OHL championship and then sweeping the Memorial Cup, and now he's just went ahead and added a World Junior gold medal to his resume. I mean, he made great saves, but he doesn't make great saves all the time. Sometimes he looks just okay as a goalie. But when the game's on the line, he is money in the bank. And the game that they played against Switzerland in the first medal round game, the Nico Hischier almost scored the hat trick goal, and he just robbed him. And that was a huge and timely save. All the momentum was going Switzerland's way, and that game could have gone south in a big way if he had missed that and let that goal in. So Tyler Parsons had a breakout tournament, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he already kind of broke out in the Memorial Cup, and to break out even more, like, he's just advanced his stock that much more because he's shown that's not just because he's behind a great team in London Knights. He can play for Team USA, which is also a great team, but he plays in those big moments. And no, he didn't have to steal a game, but he definitely had to steal some periods, that's for sure.
Yeah, his stock is, like, he's kind of come out of nowhere. Like, he didn't grow up playing with all these guys that are on Team USA. He was never in the scene, and he wasn't drafted by London, I don't believe. And he was actually, he might have been, I should look into that. But anyways, he wasn't a lock to make the team last year. He won the job in training camp, and in less than 2 years, his fantasy stock, his prospect stock is through the roof. It's pretty incredible. I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to guy on the back end. Kind of quiet, but kind of evolved into a pretty great defenseman on the back end, Casey Fitzgerald.
Yeah, this is a player who I didn't really know very much about. So I was really happy to be able to watch him play. And he played both the games that I saw live. And there isn't not much not to like about his game. He plays a kind of physical game. And he skates very well, and he reads the offense pretty well too. One play that really stood out was he had a point shot. It was a really good hard low point shot, and almost immediately he chased the puck. Like, he shot it and then went ripping towards the net. Like, he shot it deliberately for a rebound, and he went to go and get and chase that rebound down. I don't recall ever seeing a defenseman do that before. His shot placement was very good, not just in that particular play, but in general. I noticed he was very particular about where he shot the puck and very strategic about it. He showed some really good reads, and he plays really physical. So those are some things about his game in the short viewings that I had that jumped out at me from him. Yes. Buffalo's got a good player there.
Yeah, exactly. Buffalo definitely, I think, is surprised by how he's developing his game. So I think they kind of have a hidden gem here. Like, he could be maybe a 3-4, maybe 4-5 in Buffalo.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, unfortunately, we've got a bunch of Buffalo fans in the Dauber Prospects Fantasy League, so he's already gone. But yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of leagues out there that he's widely unowned on Fantrax. So look into him. Put him on your watch list. See where he's playing next season.
Perfect. All right. Tage Thompson had a pretty good tournament, didn't he?
He did. He was even more impressive in the preliminary round. He was dominant for the United States in the preliminary round. And so I've never seen him play live before. This is my first time watching him play live. And the first thing that jumps out at you is he's huge. But that's a little misleading. He's just tall. I was expecting him to go out there and play like a Jordan Greenway style game, because they're similar in stature, but he's not a very physical player at all. In fact, he got pushed off the puck pretty easily several times I watched him play. He's just grown a lot, I think, in the last few years, and he really needs to add some strength, some muscle, and some mass to his frame, because he's a little thin. But for someone who's really tall, he skates very well. He's a very good skater, very graceful for a tall guy, which is a little rare to see. But what really stood out about his game was his shot. And the power play, the games that I went to, the power play went through Tage Thompson. They fed him one-timers, and he drained into the back of the net with authority. He has a great shot. I really like his game. If he could add a little snarl and aggression and nastiness to go along with his tremendous height, and if he can back it up with some muscle, wow, he'll be a dominant player.
Yeah, he went 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points in the tournament. Headed back to UConn in the St. Louis Blues prospect. Is he one of the top prospects in St. Louis now?
I'm not looking at their prospect depth chart, but yeah, he's definitely in their top 10.
Yeah.
If not right near the top. Yeah. And he's a first round pick. So, yeah, yes. To answer your question.
All right. I don't know this guy very well, and I didn't really happen to see him he didn't catch my eye much. So I'm going to listen very keenly on this one to make sure I get some notes on this guy. Eric Foley. Tell me a little bit about him, Peter.
I didn't know anything about him either, really. I'd never seen him play. But he's a dog on a bone. He only had one assist in the tournament. He had a few points in the preliminary round. But he's a hockey player, is what he is. And he goes out there. He's Charlie Hustle up and down the ice. He's great along the boards and in the cycle. And he's very good at in front of the net as well. He's a good net presence. So I don't know. And if you're just in a points only fantasy league, he might not have tremendous upside. He might not make the NHL. But if you're in a deep league like the Dollar Prospects one, and it's got all the greasy stats, the hits and the blocks and the penalty minutes, I think there's a role for a player like him in the NHL these days. So he's someone who he's on my radar as well. He's another Winnipeg prospect, and Winnipeg's got a lot of good young players, but they're all of similar elk. There's a lot of offensive wingers on the Jets prospect and on their roster now. Some of them have graduated. They need some bangers and mash to play in the bottom six, and guys like Eric Foley or JC LaPone are players I think that might not be as talented as some other prospects, but they'll fill a need.
Yeah, and sometimes getting more ice time or some ice time is better than no ice time at all. Just because they're a top talent, if they don't have ice time to give, which Winnipeg doesn't really have the ice time right now. They got Laine and Wheeler, and their top six are pretty set. So definitely looking for a top nine or a top bottom six might end up being helpful in your fantasy league. So now we're on to your darling, your boy, Troy Terry. This guy had a great tournament.
He did. So we talked about a lot of players in the preview episode we did previously, and Troy Terry is one of them. And he's the one we got right. And we talked about a couple of players, and some of them were misses, but Troy Terry, never heard of him before like a month ago, and now the whole world knows who Troy Terry is. As good as he was at the World Juniors, scoring those hugely important penalty shot goals, shootout goals. He has a point per game for the whole entire tournament. He was 4 goals and 3 assists. And now that the World Juniors are over, he's gone back to the Denver Pioneers, and he scored 5 points in his first game back. So the legend of Troy Terry continues.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Anaheim's got they got themselves a player in the fifth round. I mean, that World Junior tournament that he just had, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that is going to be the pinnacle of his career. But I still think he has the chance to make it in the NHL and contribute fantasy points to your league. And when we recorded last, I think he was like 1 or 3% Fantrax owned. So look into him if you have prospects in your keeper league.
Awesome. All right, we're going to go to second place, Team Canada. You got three quick notes on Thomas Chabot, the MVP of the tournament, who was unbelievable. Let's start there.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to be saying anything about Thomas Chabot that everyone hasn't noticed. The guy had 10 points in 7 games. And then just a reminder, he's a defenseman. He was dominant. He was clearly the best defenseman in the tournament. He was head and shoulders above everyone else. And if he had made the Ottawa Senators full-time to start the year, as opposed to just play one game and be a healthy scratch and then get sent back to junior, I don't know how well Canada would have done. They certainly wouldn't have been in the gold medal game. They might not have medaled without him. That's how dominant he was. And I don't think there's any question that he's going to be in the NHL next season. And between him and Erik Karlsson hogging all the Norris trophies for the next 2 decades, Ottawa blue line is in really good shape.
Yeah, and I think the Senators kind of lit a fire under him. They told him out of training camp to go back to junior and grow up. Like, he's got to get better, just all-around game. He's got to get better. He's got to be better. He's got to be a leader. He's got to learn the game from the back end. And I'm pretty sure this fire was lit, and he poured gasoline on it. And this tournament, he just was outstanding. Just a really good tournament by Thomas Chabot.
He's a keeper. He's a blue chip.
All right. And I think a lot to do with his advantages were kind of because Philip Myers got hurt. Like, Philip Myers was having a really good tournament before he got injured.
Yeah, yeah. So Philip Myers is a prospect I've been a really big fan of for a while now. He, you know, undrafted, signed as a free agent out of prospect camp by the Flyers. And I watched him play really closely in the Memorial Cup last year. His team went all the way. And I can't believe this guy wasn't drafted. I'm watching him. I'm like, wow, he's just great. And watching him in the World Juniors again this year, he was so much more improved than what I saw him play in the Memorial Cup, and I was impressed with what I saw at the Memorial Cup. Man, it's an embarrassment of riches on Philadelphia's blue line, isn't it? I mean, this guy looks dynamite. He was dominant at times. And the way he can carry the puck up the ice, player his size, he can skate, he's got the skill and the confidence. It was a tragedy that he got injured and wasn't able to carry on. And I'm not sure if it would have made a difference between Canada winning or losing in the gold medal game or not, but it would have been great to see how much more he could have raised his stock.
Yeah, no kidding. How does a tall right-handed defenseman not get drafted whatsoever? That it just is mind-boggling sometimes how these guys fall through the cracks, but it does happen. Carter Hart had a pretty solid tournament kind of at the end. He definitely had a good tournament at the end. The beginning, Team Canada goalies were kind of not existent.
Yeah, he showed up when it mattered. And this is exactly what our guest last week had to say about him, Ainsley Scott. He's just got ice water in his veins. He is so cool and calm under pressure. He goes into an elimination game in relief of a guy that gave up, I don't want to bang on Mr. Ingram, but he gave up a lot of goals in very few amount of shots. And things were going south for Canada in a hurry, and then they throw in Carter Hart, and he doesn't let in a goal the rest of the way in that game against Sweden. He's and I was watching that game between Canada and Sweden, and they're both – both him and Sandstrom, the goalie for Sweden, are Philadelphia prospects, and it looks between one or the other, or possibly both, that the long-standing question for Philadelphia goaltending looks like they found their answer in one of these guys. They haven't had a great goalie since Ron Hextall. And some people are telling me on Twitter that, what about Mason? He's only, you know, got such great stats right now. I'm like, Mason.
Yeah,
he's nice. He's good. He's better than, you know, a lot of the alternatives that Philadelphia's had in the last little while. But I'm thinking Carter Hart could be the long term solution in Philadelphia.
Yeah, how many years away?
Well, that's interesting because that's another thing Ainsley said, that he thinks goalies should be 5 or 6 years from their draft, but he doesn't have a problem with fast tracking Carter Hart because he thinks he's got the mental fortitude to handle it. And it was just a very small sample size, a couple of games, but I mean, what, you know, gold medal game is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It's only one game, but I mean, the pressure, and he went in cold in the game against Sweden, so you know, that was very impressive what he was able to do.
Well, and Canada was technically the underdog in that. The Sweden was top dog. They look unstoppable, and he definitely showed that they were stoppable.
That's right.
All right, let's move on to the third place team, Russia. Your first guy, Denis Gurianov.
Yeah, so here's a guy whose stock when he was drafted was through the roof. He was a very hot commodity in fantasy hockey. I think, what was he like? A top? He was a top 10 pick. I want to say fifth overall, but might not have been that high. Maybe eighth. And then he had the injury. Now he's gone back to play in the KHL, and his like stock kind of bottomed out. He's starting to look like another Russian bust. And he was great in this tournament. He scored some clutch goals. I believe he scored the bronze medal winning goal against Sweden. And he played with size. He looked like he'd rediscovered his confidence and found his game. And it made me take my finger off the write-off Dennis Gurianov button that I was about to press.
Yeah, I think everybody thought he was going to go down the Nichushkin track and he'll never return, or he'll just disappear into the Netherlands. But I definitely think he's going to be a Dallas Star eventually.
Yeah.
And he was drafted 12th overall, so just out of the top 10, Peter.
Just out of the top 10. There you go.
All right. Yegor Rykov was a top 3 player for Russia named at the end of the tournament. Tell us about Rykov.
Yeah. So he's a player that I didn't really know anything about. New Jersey drafted him. And he finished second overall in defense scoring, but only behind Thomas Chabot. And I'm pretty sure he had 7 points in the tournament. He's probably widely available in Fantrax as well. I'm not sure what his contract situation is in Russia. That information is really hard to find. But he looked great in the tournament. He was able to, run the power play for Russia on the back end. So he's a player that, and last time I looked, New Jersey was pretty hard up for defense options. So I'm not saying that he's going to come over next year. He may. I have no idea what his contract situation is, but it's something worth looking into, and he's a player to watch.
All right, and Alexander Polunin.
Yeah, he went undrafted last summer. He was draft eligible in 2016, not picked. After he looked pretty dominant playing on Russia's top line, he could get some looks being drafted as an overager this summer coming up in Chicago. So like we said last week, players who don't have any NHL affiliation, you can't probably add them in your league, and he might not even have a Fantrax profile, but put that name in the back of your mind on your personal watch list, and keep an eye out for him. Look him up on Twitter every once in a while.
All right. Let's head to the fourth overall, Sweden. Just lost in that bronze medal that you talked about, and it was very disappointing. It was disappointing for Sweden. They should have been meddling this tournament.
Yeah, what's old is new with Sweden. You feel bad for them. They're the perennial fourth place finishes in the World Juniors lately. But they had a couple of players who I had really good feelings about watching them play, and that's Jonathan Dahlin in the Ottawa Senators. He was a dog on a bone. He was scoring some clutch goals. He was carrying the play and making things happen. So that's a player who I think his draft stock, or his prospect stock, has risen significantly since the draft. He's playing in the SHL. He'll be not long for the NHL, and I think he's a player that Sens fans are going to love when he gets here.
Yeah, he had 5 goals in the tournament. That's pretty impressive.
Hard not to like that if he's scoring for you 5 times.
And then the super young kid, Rasmus Dahlin.
Oh, man.
Why didn't they play him more?
Yeah, in that game against Canada, that is a very good question.
Oh, it's sickening. They put him in for the third period, and they expect the team to all of a sudden turn around, and he brings some offense, and you can't do that to a 16-year-old.
Yeah, he got exposed a little bit by Canada in the third period, but, guy hadn't played the whole game, so that's a really tough situation to go in, and the pressure is high, and see, you bench him in the first 2 periods, and now you're in a hole, and you look to him to get you out,
yeah.
A 16-year-old kid, no wonder it didn't go very well. I thought that was poorly managed and smacked of desperation. So they played him more in the bronze medal game, and unfortunately, again, he got victimized a little bit in that game as well, defensively, but he's playing against the greatest players in the world that are, 3 years older than him. So you give him a little bit of a break on some of his defensive liabilities. I'm sure that's very, very, very common for young prospects to have those sort of mental farts defensively. But if you look at what he did on the other side of the puck, oh my God, the kid is just deadly. He's got so much confidence. And the way he just fakes players off at the blue line, and all of a sudden, an incredible shooting lane just opens up. Because he did some little two-step head fake kind of maneuver, drag the puck a little bit, and he's got a clear path to the net. I mean, those are things you just it's really hard to teach people that. You either have the vision and the skill to pull and the cojones to pull something like that off, or you don't. And he's got it in spades. This kid's going to be challenging for first overall with Svechnikov in the 2018 draft.
Which
People will
is,
be tanking to get these guys.
yeah, which is awesome because we're going to see him two or three more times in this World Junior. So that's
That's
awesome
right.
for us.
Yeah.
Okay, off to Czech Republic. Two quick
Yeah.
notes on Nikash and Cash, Net Nisas.
Yeah, I think that's how you say their names. Martin, like Stan Netcash from the Senators. Martin Netcash. He's a 17 draft. He's a player that I saw. I saw him play live in the preliminary game. He was really impressive. You know what I like about the World Juniors is the draft eligible guys have to wear the face cage. So
Yep.
they're easy to spot. His skating and mobility was what was really noticeable. He's got big plus skating ability. He's very quick. He's got good agility and lateral movement. He carries the puck with confidence, head up, charges the other team's blue line, and he just attacks the defense. He challenges them to try and get the puck off him. And then he makes a little move, puts it through their feet or something. So for a guy who's draft minus, one, he didn't look out of place at all in the tournament, and especially in the preliminary games. The competition's a little thinned out, the stakes are a lot lower, and he was able to stand out more than he did when things picked up a bit. He only ended up with 3 points in the tournament, but I think he'll be a first round pick in this summer's draft. And when we do our fantasy ranking the draft, I'm gonna vote for him to be pretty high. The other guy, David, I think his name's Cash. He's got a brother that plays in Anaheim, and I think the pronunciation on his name has changed 3 times. So if I'm saying this wrong, our friends, I apologize. It's hard to know. It's hard to keep up. But he was the best player for the Czechs in the games that I saw. And he's got speed. He's got skill. He drives the net hard. He had 3 points in the tournament as well. And he plays in the KHL right now. He's been drafted by the Flyers. He's got 7 points in 17 games playing against men in the KHL, which is a little bit of a lower offensive league than the NHL. So, another Philadelphia Flyers prospect. There's a bunch of them that we've talked about so far in the first segment. They got a bright future, man.
Yeah, the Flyers had, I think, 9 guys in the tournament, which is a real big amount. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I need a break, Paul. Let's go to break, and then I'm going to ask you about players that you liked. All right, we're back. Thanks for staying tuned and listening to the Dobber Prospect Radio. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, DPR underscore show. Like us on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. It would help us a lot. Let's move on and continue talking about the World Juniors, and let's talk to Paul about a lot of the players that stood out to him and caught his eye. So let's start with some Minnesota Wild prospects. The Wild might have had the very best prospects in the tournament, Paul. And starting right at the top, the leading scorer in the tournament, Kirill Kaprizov. What do you think about him?
He led the tournament in scoring, which I don't think many people thought he was going to. He captained the Russians to a bronze medal. He picked up that team so many times and put them on their back. He was lights out pretty much every time he was on the ice. Anytime he was on the ice, I noticed that Kaprizov was there, and he was puck hungry, and the puck just seemed to be a magnet to his stick. He always had the puck on the ice when he was out there, so, or puck on the stick when he was out there. So Kirill Kaprizov, I definitely think Minnesota Wild stole this guy. Pretty sure he went in the third round. I don't know for sure, but yeah, they definitely stole this guy.
Yeah, I think we talked about him in the preliminary episode. He's another player we got right. I have to make a correction, though. I don't know if I said this on the podcast or Aaron, a prospect ramblings. I said, don't worry about the Russian factor. He's coming to North America next year, he said, and he'll even play in the NHL. Well, I saw him. He was a scratch in the game that Russia played in the preliminary tournament in Kingston. I went over and I asked him via Mikhail Sergachev, and he says he's got 2 more years left on his contract in the KHL. So I apologize. I read some bad information on the internet, and I need to just kind of point that out. So let's move on. Another Minnesota Wild player. Hard to miss this big guy, Jordan Greenway.
He has learned to play with his size. He definitely showed it in the Canada game, the round robin Canada game. Canada had no answer for him. He drove to the net. Anytime he drove to the net, he was in front of the net with the puck by the end of the play. He scored a goal right in front of the net that he just dominated the defenseman. In the gold medal game, I think Team Canada started to figure out how to play around him, and they didn't try to muscle him. They just outsmarted him and got to the positioning before he wanted to get into the front of the net. But yeah, Jordan Greenway just, he looked outstanding. Definitely in the round robin game with Team Canada, he dominated that whole game.
Yeah, he was a monster. All right, a third Minnesota Wild prospect that was just amazing for Sweden, Joel Arisenek. We don't get to see him play very much in Canada because he plays NCAA. What'd you think?
He has an incredible shot. It's a pro-level shot. He beat, I think it was Connor Ingram, for one of the first goals in the Team Canada-Sweden semifinal game. It was an incredible shot. He came over the blue line and put it just under the blocker. Incredible shot. 6 goals, 3 assists, 9 points. I really do think the Minnesota Wild had the best prospect group in this tournament. Yeah, Philly had 9 guys, like we said, but quantity isn't always as good as quality. So I definitely think Eriksson Ek is going to be a Minnesota Wild next year. He almost made the meta camp. He was real close, and they ended up sending him back to the NCAA. Is he in the NCAA, Peter?
He is, yeah.
Oh, I thought he... Did he play in the training camp?
Actually, you know what? I'm not entirely certain about it. I might have had him confused with somebody else. But I'm pretty sure he does play NCAA. I'm going to look into that right now. While I do that, let's talk about a Buffalo Sabres prospect, another Swedish guy, Rasmus Asplund.
Asplund was drafted by the Buffalo Sabres in the third round, 2016. He ended the tournament 1 goal, 6 assists for 7 points. He is a great two-way player. He was Sweden's face-off guy whenever they needed to win a face-off in the offense or defensive zone. I really think Asplund is going to be a great third-line centerman for the Sabres in the near future.
Okay, and then, yeah, he's a good player. One more guy, it's hard not to talk about this guy. He was, like, I think one of the most talked about prospects in the tournament. Let's talk a little bit about Nico Hischier.
I just wanted to mention, just because everybody else did, TSN just fell in love with this guy. They talked about him pretty much every intermission in any Switzerland game. I really enjoyed watching Team Switzerland this year. I thought they had a really good team. They finished 7th in the tournament, but I think that doesn't play out their whole tournament. They should have been better. They just lost some games. They played Team USA in the quarterfinals unbelievably, and Nico Hischier definitely put his team on his back. 4 goals, 3 assists for 7 points. He's going to be top 5 or top 10 draft pick this coming June.
Craig Button said he's going top 3. He thinks he's going 3rd overall.
I said top 5, top 10, because I think he's going to be in the 5-6 range.
I think he scored 4 points in his first game back for Halifax from the World Juniors, and then he scored a couple more in the second game against St. John's, which I was able to watch on TV. You know, he's trending, the way he's trending right now, he's going to challenge for 1st overall.
And with Nolan Patrick's injury, that does not surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, he was dominant. He almost single-handedly beat the United States. He scored Switzerland's 2 goals in that 3-2 game. I was wrong about Eriksson Ek. I don't know who I'm thinking of, but he played 9 games with Minnesota Wild this year. One game in the AHL, and they've loaned him back to the SHL.
All right. Thanks for that quick update.
Yes. Thank you, Elite Prospects. All right. So let's move on. Let's talk about another Swiss player, though, that, again, he's a hard guy to miss. Jonas Siegenthaler, Washington Capitals.
This guy's huge. He's a big kid.
Yes, he is. He's quite tall.
And I think he slowed down the game so much for Team Switzerland on the back end. If it wasn't Nico Hischier dominating the game, Siegenthaler was the guy that just looked impressive out on the ice. You could see where he was pretty much any time he was out on the ice. I really enjoyed watching Jonas Siegenthaler.
Yeah, the profile on him, everything that I knew about him was he was big, he's very good defensively, and he's a physical, you know, almost like a throwback defenseman. So, you know, that kind of made me worried because the modern day NHL, that's just not going to fly anymore. But he skated pretty well. And more than that, I thought his offensive game was not irrelevant. So, yeah, I think he's a player as well that raised his stock. All right, one more Swiss guy. I don't know anything about Joran van Pottenberg. Who the heck is he?
I didn't really know anything about van Pottenberg either. But if you look at just his stats on the IIHF, 16 goals against in 5 games played. That doesn't sound too promising. That's a 3.16 goals against average, a 908 save percentage. But those numbers do not tell his tournament story. He played every single minute of every game for Team Switzerland. There was no other goalie that played. That's a lot of hockey in a very short amount of time. I think he got tired by the end of it, and the game just got faster and faster as the tournament went on, and it ended up biting Switzerland in the butt. They needed him to steal a game, and he wasn't able to steal a game. Van Pottenberg drafted by Detroit Red Wings, so I don't think he's going to be a starting goaltender. He's probably going to be a backup. He might not even make the NHL, but props to Van Pottenberg for playing every single minute of every single game. That's impressive.
All right. Speaking of goalies, this guy was pretty impressive too. Going back to Russia, Ilya Samsonov for the Washington Capitals.
He was a beast. 13 goals against in 7 games played. That's 2.11 goals against average, 930 save percentage. He was definitely Russia's best player in the tournament. He kept Russia in every single game, and that's what a goaltender needs to do for Team Russia. They need to just keep the game within reach. 2 goals, 3 goals, because Team Russia can score in bunches, and Ilya Samsonov made sure of that no game got out of hand for Russia.
Yeah, like Carter Hart, he looked pretty cool in all the games that he played too. I mean, even when the other team was surging and Russia had a lead, he let in a goal. He didn't let in the next one. He didn't let that goal that he let in ruin his psyche. He was impressive as well. Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up with a couple of Canucks. Julian Gauthier, Carolina Hurricanes.
I wrote about this guy in the Ramblings last Thursday. I'm pretty sure he helped carry Canada through quarterfinals and semis. 2 goals in each of those games. He kind of tailed off in the gold medal game, but Julian Gauthier definitely impressed me. I wasn't a big fan of him before this tournament. I didn't really think he was worthy of one of those top picks that the Carolina Hurricanes used for him. But after this tournament, my whole mindset has changed. I am a huge Julian Gauthier fan.
Nice. Yeah, there was some talk that he might even make it in the NHL right out of his draft, and obviously he didn't, but now we're starting to see where some of that came from. Speaking of the draft, Pierre-Luc Dubois, who went 3rd overall, dropped some draws when he was selected after Patrick Laine. What'd you think of his tournament?
And I was also quite surprised that he went 3rd overall. He was definitely snake bit all tournament. He went 0 goals, 5 assists for 5 points, so he couldn't find the back of the net. But he was part of that dominant Gauthier, Waugh, Dubois line that just dominated the quarters and semis. This is another guy that my mindset has changed on him. I was not a big fan of him, but these guys, Gauthier and Dubois, have definitely grown on me big time after this tournament.
Yeah, that Q line was dominant at times. They really were. They had everything you'd look for. They speed, they can skate, they can handle the puck, they can shoot, they made great passes, they played a gritty game. They were a handful. All right, last but not least, let's talk about a player who was just traded in the OHL, Anthony Cirelli.
Big game, Tony. This guy shows up for the biggest events. He's kind of like a Jordan Eberle light. No comparison to Eberle. Eberle, I think, is a much better NHL player, and I don't think Cirelli will live up to that. But just the knack of being a big game player. Eberle did it in 08, 09, and 09-10. Cirelli helped Canada, but just couldn't get it done in the gold medal game. But this kid's got heart, drive, speed. He just doesn't quite have that talent. But the fact that he was a walk-on into the OHL, he got passed by in two OHL drafts. Pretty sure there's like 17 rounds in the OHL draft.
That's right.
That's 32 rounds, 34 rounds of 30 teams passing by. This guy wasn't even selected. How did the scouts miss this guy?
Yeah, it happens. And some players develop sooner or later than others, or they just need the opportunity. He is a player who is trending fast in the up direction. He clutch captain. Now he's a key component in the trade deadline in the OHL. Dominant for Canada at the World Juniors. Yeah. That's a lot of players that we like, Paul, from the World Juniors. Let's do a couple of quick, maybe just mention their names, couple quick hits on some players who kind of left us wanting. Let's start with some players on your side.
Pretty much all of Finland. I was very disappointed. They were very lackluster. I really wanted Ili Tolvanen to step up. He was 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points in 6 games played, which isn't bad, but just not enough out of him. Like, this guy's supposed to be a top 10-15 pick in 2017 draft, and I was very disappointed with Tolvanen.
Yeah, Olli Juolevi as well. Yeah, you're right. Finland went from gold medal to almost being relegated out of the A group. That's pretty devastating. German Rupstov is a player that we talked about, and Petrus Palmu. Those are two players that I talked about in the preliminary as players to watch, and I was really disappointed with them. Rupstov, I believe, got injured, so give him a mulligan on that. But Petrus Palmu, another Finnish player that really disappointed. He's a guy I said undrafted, tearing it up in the OHL in his final year. This is his opportunity to, on a big stage, show how good he is offensively and get the attention of some NHL scouts and general managers and try and parlay that into a contract. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, that's disappointing. A Russian back-end guy, Mikhail Sergachev, I was so excited that he went back to Windsor Spitfires. He was going to play in the World Juniors. Very disappointing. I did not think he had a great tournament.
Yeah. We talked about him in some of our earlier episodes and how dominant he was in Prospects Tournament for Montreal, especially that game against Ottawa. He was just incredible. So I'm like you. I was really excited to see what he was going to do in the World Juniors. I kind of chalk up the first bit of the season. He's been kind of unspectacular in the O. Maybe he's suffering from a little bit of NHLitis. He's got to have a good second half or his stock is going to plummet. Yeah, I mean, he's got his ticket punched to the Memorial Cup already, but he's got some work to do.
Yeah, he's got to step up his game to be even talked about for the Memorial Cup. He can't just go because he's part of the hosting team. He needs to show that he deserves to be there. And Yegor Rykov that we talked about earlier, he really stood out for me. He was named a top 3 Russian for the New Jersey Devils. I think Rykov outplayed Sergachev big time.
Yeah. I mean, Sergachev didn't play bad. He made some. He was good defensively, yeah. But I expected so much more from him.
Yeah, like he had an okay tournament. He didn't have a great tournament. He didn't have a bad tournament. Just an okay tournament, which shouldn't have happened with Sergachev. He should have stood out.
My last two prospects that I was watching for these guys in the preliminary games that I went to, I've owned them in fantasy leagues. I no longer own either of them. They're big guys. They'd be great for leagues like the DPFHL, I thought. Radovan Vondra from Slovakia and Philip Ahl, Chicago and Ottawa Senators prospects. I watched them play in their games and they looked very pedestrian. I was very disappointed in them. So that's it for my disappointments, Paul. Do you got any more?
I got one more. Jake Bean from the Carolina Hurricanes. I couldn't stop yelling at him when I was watching games. He just bad pinching. He was blown by wide on his own blue line multiple times. His game improved into the semis and the final, but I think that was because Philip Myers was injured, so he had to kind of step up. And I was worried that they were going to give him more ice time over Jeremy Lauzon and Dante Fabbro, and I was not happy about it. He slowly found his game by the end of the tournament, but the beginning of his tournament, he looked shaky, and maybe that's nerves. Maybe it's the big spotlight of the World Junior Championships. I still was not impressed by his game.
Yeah, you know, when they finalized the rosters, even before that, they didn't invite Samuel Girard. And I get it, you know, he's a one-dimensional player. He's a prolific offensive defenseman. But, you know, if you're down a goal or two and you're running out of time and you got to score, you got to put a defenseman out there that can do that for you. And we're your power play specialist. So they chose Jake Bean over Sam Girard because they're both similar players in that respect. I guess they figured Jake Bean was less of a liability than Samuel Girard, but you know, Bean didn't really deliver the offense, so maybe they would have been better off with Girard. I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the tournament at all, but that's what I think about that.
Yeah. All right, Peter, we went through probably 25 to 30 players here. Lots of information taken in. All of these names that we talked about are going to be on our show notes on dauberprospects.com/DPR09 for this episode. So you can find all our information there. When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Scott Wheeler of the Pension Plan Puppets, and we're going to talk just a little bit more tournament. So hopefully you're not World Junior Dev'd.
Welcome back. Segment 3, Dauber Prospects Radio. We are joined by our guest, as we always are, and this time we have got Mr. Scott Wheeler. He is the managing editor for Pension Plan Puppets, and he works, does some writing for Future Considerations, too. And if I'm not mistaken, Scott, you just have a job announcement that you made the other day, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, I'll be joining the Globe and Mail for an internship this summer, so I'm really looking forward to that. I did a lot of sports writing with the National Post and the Toronto Sun this past summer, and this will sort of be right down my alley as well. So looking forward to it.
Oh, that's great, man. Congratulations. I love seeing people getting opportunities. It's really hard these days in the media world. So let's talk a little bit about some prospects, particularly from the World Juniors. In our prelim show, we talked about some guys. Arthur Tunulin is a player that was on the Russian preliminary roster. He played in the CHL series, didn't make the cut for Russia. I was a little bit surprised because he's dominating this year in the OHL. What can you tell me about Arthur Tunulin?
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. He's obviously, being in Ottawa, I'm based out of Ottawa, so I get to see the Gatineau Olympiques and the Ottawa 67s a ton. This is sort of my base here, and he would rank among the players I've seen the most out of any of the sort of draft eligibles. And he was passed up last year in his draft, but he's eligible again this year. And yeah, he's sort of taken his game to an entirely new level. He's obviously an extremely small player. And he's never going, I don't think he's ever going to be the catalyst on a line. He's able to be the catalyst on a line in the OHL strictly by virtue of his skill, but he'll probably end up being more of a complementary player if he ever makes it in a professional setting. But yeah, he's been great. He's been really, really great. I think a couple of Ottawa prospects like him have sort of been passed up for their size in the last couple of years. I was surprised when Dante Salaturo, who was a standout for the 67s, was passed up in his draft class. And Tainulin has sort of fit onto a line with Sasha Shimolevsky, who's another smaller player, and Austin Keating, who isn't a great size player, at least. And the three of them have been one of the more dynamic lines in the OHL this year. They've been separated recently a little bit more, but when they're together, they're one of the most dominant lines in the OHL, and he's certainly got that wow factor and that sort of high-end talent. And the things he does with the puck, he's an exceptional player, and Size will obviously hold him back at the next level a little bit, but I don't think it's a huge concern, and he should get drafted this year.
Awesome. I was just going to ask you to see him get drafted in Chicago. Okay, so let's talk about another guy that's going to get drafted in Chicago this year, and he was at the World Juniors, Martin Nekash. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's sort of like the second coming for that program. I mean, he's been on the radar for a long, long time, and I spoke to him at the World Juniors at length. And he's just sort of another one of those guys who he still has a lot of filling out to do. I mean, you can just see it in the way he carries himself. He's very light on his feet, and you see that reflected on the ice as well. He's light on his edges, and he's quick and tight, and he can sort of beat players, not only in the corners with his speed, but sort of navigating through the middle of the ice and navigating through traffic to create plays for himself. And yeah, he's an interesting prospect because he's one of those guys who chose not to. I mean, he had every opportunity to come over to North America, and he chose not to. And he's carved out a professional career for himself already in back in the Czech Republic. And he has an elite talent, elite skill set. I mean, he's kind of like Tainu in a couple of ways, just in the way he sort of dodges through traffic to create plays for himself. And I mean, he's been their top prospect for a number of years. Back when he was 15, he was setting records in their junior leagues over there, and he's sort of just been coming along, and they've been nurturing him, and he's one of the top Czech prospects we've seen in a little while. So he should absolutely be a first round pick, and maybe even a top 20 pick.
Yeah, I like him too. He's got some good fantasy upside, and I watched him play in the plenary games live. And he's hard to miss, easy to spot, especially because he had the full face cage on.
Yeah.
All right. So you do a lot of work for Pension Plan Puppets as the managing editor, so you are very well versed with Toronto Maple Leafs prospects. So let's talk about a couple of them. One that you will know very well because you see him play in the OHL live a lot would be Jeremy Bracco. What do you think about his performance on the big stage in the World Juniors?
He was great. He scored in the first game and then was a little bit quieter in the second game, but he carved out a niche on one of the United States' best lines with pair of Minnesota Wild prospects, Jordan Greenway, namely. Luke Cunning was great too, but Jordan Greenway really had a breakout performance. And yeah, he was outstanding. I mean, he wasn't counted on to be a lock to make the team. He was the final cut on Christmas Eve 2 years ago, and then he wasn't even invited to camp last year. So his relationship with USA Hockey has kind of been up and down, especially after he left BC to join the Kitchener Rangers. And he's an interesting prospect because a lot of people regard him as sort of a flashy, high skill guy, but Bob Motzko, in a couple of interviews, Bob Motzko being their head coach this year, in a couple of interviews, spoke at length about how good he was defensively and how they had a ton of tape of him coming back into plays to disrupt plays defensively. So I think that was a huge bonus for him. And obviously, he wanted to impress the ACC crowd. It was his first time playing at the ACC because he had never been in any preseason games for the Leafs. And yeah, he was really impressive. He created a ton of opportunities, and he was lethal on the power play, which is what they were counting on. So yeah, he all around, I think he should be pretty proud with how he played.
Leaf fans are hoping he's the next Mitch Marner. Do you see any similarities in their game? And they both make some sublime playmaking passes and whatnot, but do you think he's got Mitch Marner type upside?
I don't think he has that kind of upside. He's not as strong a skater as Mitch Marner is, and by skater I mean just raw speed. His footwork is among the best you'll ever see. The way he goes heel to heel and the way he navigates around defenders without his speed is definitely elite. And he's a passer first though, so I think there's a ton of opportunities where he can shoot the puck and he chooses not to. And I think that's both a blessing and a curse because he creates those crazy plays that you don't expect most players to create with his passing. And I think he very well could end up being sort of a top nine winger in the NHL and someone who pitches in offensively and is more of a threat on the power play than he is at even strength. But he's definitely got a ton of upside. I'm not sure he has Mitch Marner upside, and he'll still probably have to prove himself with the Marlies before he's given an opportunity in the NHL, whether it's with the Leafs or with another team. So I fully expect him to get an entry-level contract. He still doesn't have one, which is a bit surprising, but I fully expect the Leafs will sign him and then they'll sort of go from there. But he's one of those players who certainly has the upside to be an impact player offensively.
Mm-hmm. Let's change positions and talk about goaltending. Tyler Parsons got a lot of the starts for US, so we didn't get to see much of Joseph Woll, but and he plays in NCAA, so it's hard for us to get a lot of looks at him. But what was your impression of his game?
He was great. I thought he was going to get the start into the sort of medal round there in the quarters. He beat Team Canada, and at the end of the medal round, he actually, in both groups, had the highest save percentage in the tournament through, albeit just two games. But yeah, he was excellent. The job was Parsons's to lose, and Parsons played well enough in the medal or in the round robin that they thought he merited to continue to be the starter in the medal round. But Woll played well and no complaints with his game. He has tended to have issues with his rebounds, but he was composed and that wasn't really an issue at all in the games that he played. And obviously it's a very small sample when he only got into two games, but I thought he played really well and it was his first, sort of big international stage. So, yeah, I really did think he played well.
Nice. All right. Another player that we talked about in our last episode as a player to watch was Sweden's Carl Grundström. So you got to see him firsthand for maybe the first time. What'd you take away from his game?
It was as advertised. I mean, at least in the last few years, I've watched a ton of SHL games online. So I've been able to see him at least via tape a ton. And he's an interesting player because unlike Bracco, he doesn't pass. He's the kind of guy who just throws everything on net and crashes the net and loves to play behind the net. He does a really good job below the goal line. He took a couple of penalties that he definitely shouldn't have taken, and I think discipline is kind of a concern with him, but that's something that could hopefully be sort of taught out of him. And as far as his finishing ability, I mean, he's one of the leading goal scorers in the SHL. He's not one of the leading point scorers because he hardly ever gets assists unless they're from rebounds. But he was great for them. I mean, he stepped into a top six role and wore the A as one of the assistant captains. And I think like Bracco, I mean, it's repetitive because none of these guys really had bad tournaments where you can really complain about how they performed. I thought he played really well.
Nice. And the last Leafs prospect that was in the tournament was Martin DeZirkles. Did you have any thoughts about how he looked?
Yeah, he was another guy who played well, but discipline, like with Grundström, was a huge issue. I mean, it's a problem for him because he was the star on a team that really didn't have many stars. They had three drafted prospects and he was one of them. The other two were San Jose prospects. And you could see it. You could see him getting frustrated. You could see him hacking at guys behind the play. You could see him mouthing off at guys and mouthing off the refs and really, really being undisciplined. He took a ton of penalties. But otherwise, he was their catalyst offensively. I mean, he created a pair of goals that were basically entirely by his design. He was their entry and exit guy with the puck, picking it up deep and carrying it through the neutral zone and creating clean entries. And he's a player who, where a guy like Bracco has issues with his speed, Zirkles certainly doesn't. And his skating ability is high end. Side to side, he sort of has this lateral mobility where he almost jumps around players off the rush and really beats them side to side rather than north south. And yeah, he was good. He was taking a lot of shots. He wasn't looking past as much as his coaching staff probably would have liked him to, but he didn't have a ton of talent around him. So he was basically throwing everything on net and seeing what he could create. And he did a good job and picked up a pair of big goals. And yeah, I think he was dynamic. I think I've seen him play a few times in the last couple of years, and they're coming back this coming weekend to play in Gatineau. But he plays a much more team first game in Ruin Noranda than he did at the tournament, but I think that was partly because of the lack of talent he had around him.
Nice. Yeah, we were talking about Bracco and his skating, his heel to heel. I love watching him. He gets the puck and he'll just carry it down the wing, behind the net, up the other wing, along the blue line, and so it's like circle the wagons. And he's so patient with the puck and he holds on to it. If you watch a hockey game, time how long each player has possession of the puck, it's usually around 2 seconds before they either lose it or they pass it or they shoot it. Guys like Bracco, they're the exception to the rule, though. He can hold on to the puck for, it seems like, an eternity. Yeah, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he certainly is. I mean, you said it correctly. He goes from blue line to blue line and back again in the offensive zone, and he's got his body facing the play the entire time. He never turns his back on his teammates because he's able to sort of go heel to heel and pivot so that he's facing the play and surveying the ice. And it really allows him to open up a lot of lanes that other players can't.
He's going to be a fun player to watch, and Leaf fans finally have things to look forward to. Before I let you go, Scott, was there any? Let's talk about the draft real quick. Was there any players? We do. If anyone hasn't seen it, last year we started the fantasy ranking the NHL entry draft players, and Scott's been kind enough to contribute to both editions, and it's going to be coming out. This year's edition will be coming out sometime this month. Scott, is there any players who are first round projected or later players that you think their fantasy value will be a lot higher than where they're drafted on the NHL draft board? So players that guys like Paul and I are in fantasy leagues and we watch the draft. You don't use the draft board as your draft guide. So who are some players that are jumping out as higher fantasy value than NHL value for you?
I think there's a few players in the class that really stand out. I think with these kids, especially with the kids that are getting drafted outside of the top 10, if you're looking in a deep fantasy league and you're looking to target players, you're probably looking for the home run. And I think it's worthwhile targeting a few players that are undersized that may turn out just because of how talented they are. In this class, there's a player by the name of Kaylor Yamamoto, who plays for Spokane in the WHL. He's only 5'8", but he is one of the most talented players we've had in a draft class in the last couple of years. If he was 3 or 4 inches taller, he would probably be a top five pick in this class. And he's the kind of guy that even at 5'8", could enter into the NHL at some point and really wow and really, at least offensively, put up a lot of points. Another sort of smaller, undersized player, Nick Suzuki, has had a coming out party in the last couple of months with the Owen Sound Attack. He's fantastic. He does it all. I already mentioned Nietzsche, but I think he's got potential. Even Sasha Chmelevski in Ottawa, he generates a ton of chances, and he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he can score with his shot, and he picks up a ton of shots. So I think he's a player to watch. And then there's a ton of Finns to keep an eye on. Robert Salo, or Robin Salo, I should say. He plays in Finland still, and he wasn't actually named to Team Finland's roster. They brought 5 draft eligible prospects, and I thought he should have been a 6th. And that might hurt his draft stock, which might put him a little bit under the radar for people that are in deep fantasy leagues. But he's the defender with a ton of upside offensively, so he's another player that I'd really keep an eye on, probably.
Very good, Scott. Thank you so much for your time. Do me a favor and let anyone who's listening know if they're interested in finding your work. What sites are you writing for these days?
Yeah, these days I'm writing still a ton at PPP, covering the Leafs, Marlies, prospects, just about everything that has to do with the Leafs. And then I'm doing a lot of draft features for future considerations, and I'll have a couple more announcements coming up soon with regards to jobs too. So I'm really excited about them. But I'll be with the Globe and Mail in May, and I've got one other announcement coming up soon with regards to a job that should be really exciting too.
Whoa, a teaser from our guest. We haven't had that before. That's very nice. And if anyone isn't following you on Twitter, they absolutely should be. What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at Scott C. Wheeler, and you can find me there just about 24/7.
Yeah, you're a prolific tweeter. Thank you so much for your time, Scott. It means a lot to us. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on.
Oh man, Scott just gave us 4 or 5 great names to put in our fantasy draft list this coming offseason. Thanks again to Scott Wheeler for joining us, another great guest. If you want more guests, we need more reviews. More reviews means we can schedule in more guests. So please take a few minutes to give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You will help us immensely. We want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to produce a podcast, so please continue to listen. Check out episode 9 show notes at dauberprospects.com/DPR09. We want to do a mailbag segment in the future about any prospects that you guys have questions about or just want to know more about a prospect. Please email those questions to prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. That's prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. The more emails, the longer the mailbag segment in an upcoming episode. You can follow and ask questions to our Twitter account @DPR_show or at our personal accounts @Swanbag and Peter's is @PHarling. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.